This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan, Austin Bechtold with you. It's a Friday morning as we're now a first full day into February, second day of February, which means we are just days away, a weekend, a couple of days away from Super Bowl 58, Kansas City Chiefs, San Francisco 49ers in Las Vegas. It's a rematch of a Super Bowl from not too long ago. Once again, just 4 years later. The Chiefs, the 49ers are in the Super Bowl. I saw this tweet, the Chiefs and the Niners are in the Super Bowl, as well as the same election that we're going to have from 4 years ago is this year, and a couple other similarities that have completely escaped the top of my mind that are becoming a recurring theme in 2024 as they were in 2020, but I digress. How about the Milwaukee Brewers last night? We'll get into the Steelers in a little bit, and I want to grade the Steelers draft class, the 2023 draft class, because Mike Tomlin's in Mobile for the Senior Bowl. Last night was the East-West Shrine Bowl. Last night was also the NFL Skills Competition. Tonight's the NHL Skills Competition for the All-Star Game. The NFL Skills Competition didn't really tickle my fancy whatsoever. Could kind of care less. There were a lot of different competitions that went on. Precision passing. That's one that I honestly would want to see. Best catch, okay. Closest to the pin. High stakes, whatever that is. Dodgeball, which is presented by Bud Light. Precision passing was presented by Lowe's. I guess we couldn't find anybody to present high stakes. Closest to the pin, best catch. Snapshots or kick-tac-toe, which how good the kickers are. Kick-tac-toe would probably be kind of fun to watch as well. Corbin Burns to Baltimore. And it's not so much about the fact that Baltimore won 100 games last year, is acquiring another top-of-the-line starting pitcher that the Orioles kind of needed to make. It's funny, it comes days after the Orioles sold. Two prospects for Corbin Burns. Milwaukee didn't get much back, and they give up their number one starter. I was stunned. There were always rumors that Corbin Burns was going to be dealt, but he's still 29. Very good player. He's a free agent next year. 3.39 ERA in 32 games, played the entire year, 10-8, 3.5 WAR, a 193 innings, 200 strikeouts, had a 107 WHIP. Very solid season for Corbin Burns. A very good player. He's been an all-star each of the last 3 years for Milwaukee, but, you know, it's that time in the contract cycle for Burns and for the Brewers where just kind of had to move on. Were they going to pay him the long-term deal, or were they going to try to sign him? This is Milwaukee completely showing their cards and giving away one of their best, who last year had a 3.25 ERA, pitched 202 innings, a 2.94 ERA, rather. The year before that, he led all of baseball with a 2.43 ERA in 2021. So Corbin Burns started off 2018 really good, 38 innings, 2.61 ERA. And then 2019 was terrible, 32 games. He only started four of them, 49 innings, and 8.82 ERA. 2020 is really when he got going. And 59 innings, had a 2.11 ERA, 4-1 record. in his age 25 season, then 243 in 167 innings, 294 in 202, 339 in 193. So what am I getting at? This is a wide open division. The NL Central is now wide open. Corbin Burns is gone. Milwaukee really doesn't have the firepower that I think past Brewers teams, especially offensively, past Brewers teams have had. They still have your prototypical guys in the lineup that you know about. William Contreras behind the plate. Willy Adames still in the infield. Jake Bauer is an interesting candidate in the infield as well. Oh, they did sign Rhys Hoskins to play first base, somebody who I would have loved to see in a Pirates uniform. And a two-year deal, I think there's an out after the first year that's pretty reasonable, but $34 million. Jackson Chirio, their top outfield prospect, who they gave a long-term contract to, should start on opening day, on the opening day roster. Sal Frelick, another good player in the outfield, young player. It's a young team. There are guys that could step up for this team that would not surprise me, but you still have Yelich, Joey Weimer in the outfield. But it's not your prototypical Milwaukee Brewers. We're going to slice and dice you in the rotation and also have a bunch of funk thrown at you in the bullpen. Freddy Peralta's still there. Devin Williams is still there. Bryce Wilson was great. But without Corbin Burns, that takes away not an automatic win. Pirates have had recent success, decent success against Burns. They kind of did really well against number one and number two pitchers last year for whatever odd reason it was, and they struggled against fours and fives. But it's kind of like the argument with Lamar Jackson. Would you rather have him with the Ravens in the AFC North? I kind of fluctuate back and forth between that because I know he's not going to win a big playoff game, a la the Kansas City game at home. First time that Baltimore's had the AFC Championship game is, in fact, in 1970 when they were, oh yes, the Baltimore Colts, before they packed up the Mayflower and went off to Indianapolis. St. Louis is a team that was terrible last year, kind of rebuilt their pitching on the fly. It was the first time since 99 that the St. Louis Cardinals finished worst in the standings than the Pittsburgh Pirates. So what did they do? Went out and got some pitchers. Kyle Gibson, Sonny Gray, who was my favorite pitcher out there on the open market. Love Sonny Gray. Lance Lynn, welcome back. Welcome back, old friend Lance Lynn. Now, he's a little bit older now, and when I mean a little bit older, 36, and has been fine, still a high strikeout guy, able to get a lot of outs. Zach Thompson in the bullpen. Wilson Contreras at catcher, more of an offensive guy than a defensive guy. Nolan Arenado back as a hot corner with Paul Goldschmidt. There were trade rumors with those guys. Both of them will be back. Nolan Gorman, explosive bat at second base, has a chance to hit 30 homers. So it's the same talent that the Cardinals typically have, but what opportunity do they have to make a move and really try to solidify themselves in the NL Central standings? 412-928-9370. What do you think? What's your thoughts on not just the Pirates and their chances in the NL Central this year? Cincinnati has Ellie De La Cruz, no more Joey Votto. They have a rotation that's young. Think of Andrew Abbott. Think of Castillo. A lot of pitchers that they have, but you got to think about it from a Pirates perspective. And the Cubs, where Cody Bellinger hasn't signed a deal yet, supposedly hasn't even been offered a contract yet. Marcus Stroman no longer there. They've signed some guys. From a Pirates perspective, O'Neill Cruz is back at short. Who's going to play second base? Peguero, Gonzalez. I kind of think of it by the fact that they've propped up Leo Peguero and Nick Gonzalez now with like 79 different social media videos during the offseason, that those are probably key candidates to get that job. Just a hunch. Compared to guys like Jiwon Bae or whatnot. 412-928-9370. Let's go out to the line. What's up? Happy Friday.
What's happening, Austin? How are you, brother?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Real good. Hey, listen. What about, you know, you say Lamar Jackson will never win a playoff game, which I agree with, just like Dak Prescott. But didn't Kansas City also beat Buffalo at home? Why isn't anyone talking about Josh Allen not ever winning really anything? And I just don't get, and let me just say this also. I love you guys' show. I really do. That show you do with Cook and Joe. But as long as the Steelers have Kenny Pickett, I don't care if Dan Marino's their offensive coordinator. They will never win anything.
Well,
man, you have a good day. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, you too. I want to address the Kenny Pickett thing real quick, just because I'm in agreement with you on the fact that Kenny Pickett, Mason Rudolph, all the above, unless you have an absolutely grade A Andy Reid that emerges in Arthur Smith, that he wakes up one day and decides to be the greatest offensive coordinator on the face of the planet, is not going to be able to overcome playing Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Trevor Lawrence even, Justin Herbert with Jim Harbaugh, some of these best quarterbacks. Because the other thing is, all the best quarterbacks are in the AFC. Brock Purdy, okay, maybe he's a system quarterback, has led him to the Super Bowl. I'll give Brock Purdy a chance and an opportunity to prove that he can be that guy. But again, it's Dak Prescott, hasn't really proven anything with Dallas. Maybe it's a Mike McCarthy thing. Maybe it's a Dak Prescott just not being good enough type of thing, even though he was an MVP candidate this year.
I don't care what he is. He's never going to win anything. The Cowboys will never win anything with him because he chokes in the clutch. And I don't care if the Steelers get Bruce Smith, Emmitt Smith, Will Smith, they will not win anything with Kenny Pickett. My man, you have a great show, brother. Love to listen to you.
You too. Appreciate it. Have a good one. Let's go back out to the phones. What's up? You're on the Fan. Good morning. Happy Friday.
Hey, Austin. Kenny McAnulis. I called yesterday, and I had to get off for Ron the show. But
yeah, what's up, Ken?
Had a quick comment on if you want to pass on to that or if it comes up again about the Penguins as far as the games in hand thing. I think a simple way to look at it is average in the NHL is a point a game for an average team. So Penguins only played 45, another team played 50. Just to equate them, you just add 5 points to the Penguins for that game difference. That's how you kind of compare where they are against each other, and that gets you pretty close. So after you do that, that's when you can tell which is better, I think. But that's a way of kind of looking at it, I think.
Yeah, Ken, they got a shot. I mean, 6 points out of a wild card right now, the couple games in hand, Detroit. And they got some winnable games coming up. I mean, the Wild, the Jets twice, pretty solid team. The Panthers again, a team that you're chasing. The Blackhawks, and then you got the Kings, Islanders again, just all in February. Montreal again, a Flyers team with the situation in Carter Hart that is probably just going to spiral and completely fall flat on their face, I would imagine, at this point. So you would think that the Penguins are going to be able to overcome Philadelphia, that they're going to fall flat and just kind of fall out of this thing. It's the Islanders that probably give the Penguins the biggest run for their money for that third spot in the Metro.
Yeah, I think you're right there. I don't know about Wobby and the coach and all that. I don't know what's that going to do with it, but I still feel pretty good about them. I think they've got a good shot, especially at their third place. I think that's probably a better shot than getting the wild card.
Yeah, and the Islanders have played 3 more games in the Pens as well. You mentioned the whole coaching situation. When you make an in-season move, it can either go the way of the Penguins and Mike Sullivan and we're hoisting trophies, or everybody's falling, again, flat on their face, falling down the standings, and there's more questions than answers, and you're looking for kind of like what happened with the Raiders and Antonio Pierce. They didn't know what was going to happen this year once they got rid of McDaniels. Pierce comes in. They had Rich Bisaccia a couple years ago as an interim head coach that they kept around after Gruden, but didn't make him the full-time guy. Now Pierce is the man there. Is it a similar situation of what can happen with the Islanders? Only time will tell, but it's again, there's really no middle ground. Either you find a lot of success or you kind of bottom out, and maybe that's going to end up being the case for the Islanders, who have lost 3 in a row, 2-6-2 in their last 10.
Yeah, I agree. You're doing great. And keep up the good work.
Appreciate it, Ken. Wanted to get back quickly to the Pirate stuff before we get into some of the other things in the NFL with the skills competition. If anybody wants to talk about that, 412-928-9370. I'm curious if anybody has any good solution to the Pro Bowl skills competition. I think the skills competition might be fine. But does anybody watch the Pro Bowl? I might tune in just for a couple minutes because it's football. And in about a week or so, we're not going to have it anymore. After the Super Bowl, yeah, we'll have the USFL, the combination of the XFL and the USFL. But It's not the NFL. And again, on the Pirates real quick. Win 76 games. That was one over what I thought they were going to win. I thought they were going to win. I think I might have tweeted they were going to win 76 games. 75 was my official prediction. Somewhere I tweeted. Whatever. They won 76. People can make the parallel to the Arizona Diamondbacks at 84, going to the World Series. Okay, you got hot at the right time. They had two premium pitching, top-of-the-line starting pitching prospects. Starting pitchers, I should say, at the top of their rotation. Merrill Kelly, fantastic pitcher. One of the guys that was leading their staff. And also a bullpen that was lights out. A young star in Corbin Carroll. Can you make any parallels to what they were able to do in Arizona this past year? Okay. The pitching prospect of Paul Skeens coming up in probably June, paired with Mitch Keller. You need more than just Marco Gonzalez, Martin Perez, and maybe crossing your fingers that Jared Jones by June will be able to do something for you in Indianapolis. A high strikeout guy, good breaking pitch, solid movement on his fastball as well. Quinn Priester, question mark. Luis Ortiz, question mark. So spring training's in a couple of weeks. Pitchers and catchers report on February 15th. 412-928-9370. Also, how would you grade the 2023 draft class for Omar Khan, Andy White on the Pittsburgh Steelers? Broderick Jones, 14th overall. Joey Porter Jr., 32nd overall, first pick of the second round. Basically a first-round draft pick, but you don't get that 50-year option with Joey Porter Jr. That's going to be something that will be talked about further on down the road when you got to give him an extension because JPJ, in all likelihood, at least by the way he played in his rookie year, and yeah, maybe offenses will look to attack him a little bit differently and be on higher notice for him by the way that he shut down the opposing number one wide receiver. Think about DeAndre Hopkins. The way that he battled with, I mean, some of the other guys in the league. It was DK Metcalf that really got the best of him. But DK Metcalf gets the best of how many corners in the NFL? So many. He shut down a lot of good receivers. Guys on the Bengals, late November. The Steelers played against Cincinnati at home, won that game. He did okay when he matched up against Cooper Kupp. Puka Nacua really dominated the Steelers. Calvin Ridley with the Jags didn't do too much. Every time I look at the Steelers' schedule, I think about that Cardinals and Patriots games. Ugh. Just horrendous. I was at those games. Ones that you want to take back. I mean, think about it. The Steelers, if they win both of those games, and I know 2020 vision and all that, you're looking at like a 12-5 season. If you just take care of business, maybe they lose another game along the way. Let's say 11-6. Are we looking at this any differently? I don't think so because the quarterback position is so murky. Keanu Benton, second-round pick. Steelers had 2 second-round picks. Porter at 32, Benton at 49. I think he's solid. I'd rate Broderick Jones right now as probably a B+. Move him back to left tackle where he belongs, and I'd probably make him an A. Joey Porter Jr. is an A+. I think he should win Defensive Rookie of the Year. Witherspoon in Seattle's played well. Jalen Carter in Philadelphia might be the one that ends up winning it. Especially if there was like an AFC Defensive Player of the Year, Joey Porter would 100% win it, in my mind. He shut down so many guys. Especially with Levi Wallace, aging Patrick Peterson on the other side. Peterson moving over to safety with the Steelers on their 6th and 7th safeties. Miles Killebrew, a Pro Bowl special teamer, having to play there. Elijah Riley coming back from injury. Trenton Thompson before he got hurt. Eric Rowe off the street, who also played well. Keanu Benton's also a B. B for Benton, B for the grade. I think he's a decent player. Gap sound guy. Like what he did on the defensive line. Still think there's a lot of questions on that line with Larry Ogunjobi. Big cap hit, what, over $10 million? Expensive player, but played every game this year. Keanu Benton was good, and he had his opportunities. Darnell Washington, 3rd-round pick, 93rd overall. Tight end from Georgia. Man, I just don't know if it's how they utilize him. If they want him to, they obviously want him to block. They don't use him in a lot of passing contests. Maybe that was a Matt Canada thing. And maybe it was Matt Canada that ruined this team from the first day of training camp, where they couldn't find any consistent offensive rhythm. Peter King, we'll get to him coming up soon, said that Arthur Smith is a tight end's best friend. And you heard how Mike Tomlin praised Pat Freiermuth, really for his leadership, and how he was able to help bring some things together on offense in his end-of-year press conference. And I like Pat Freiermuth. I'd like Pat Freiermuth to stay healthy, which he was not able to do this year. But in his 2 years prior to that, stayed pretty healthy. Not much of a blocker. That's probably why Darnell Washington blocked as much as he did and saw as much time on the field as a blocker, not as a pass catcher as he did. Because Pat Freiermuth is kind of an extra wide receiver. Kind of a slot guy. But a capable guy. Very solid tight end. I like what he brings to the table. If you could draw up some formations for him, he's not Travis Kelce. He's not Sam Laporta. Nobody really is. But he could be in that next wave of tight ends. Nick Herbig was one of my favorite picks of the entire draft. Fourth round pick out of Wisconsin. 132nd pick. Man, is he fast off to the ball. Had a couple of forced fumbles. Big sacks. Nick Herbig makes plays, man. And it wasn't too much the case in the playoff game without T.J. Watt. And when you're out T.J. Watt, Alex Highsmith, who did okay without Watt in the playoffs, overall did, I think, a decent job this year. Wanted to see more, especially after getting the big contract that he did, $16 million. You got to see Alex Highsmith as a 10-sack-a-year guy. Ideally more. You want him to be a Pro Bowl type of player. And he did a good job in the run game. He played well, but had a couple of interceptions. 7 sacks. That's not good enough. He needs to be better for the money that he's commanding. First year of his deal as a former third-round pick in 2020 from Charlotte. Highsmith's just been great in his opportunities, especially last year. Really earned his money. Again, want to see more from him this year. Want to see 10.5. Want to see 11 sacks. Pair with T.J. Watt, but I also want to see Nick Herbig get some more run. Corey Trice, the corner from Purdue. Steelers did not have a pick in the 5th or 6th round. Man, if we would have got a chance to see what Trice was capable of. Very curious to see what he would have brought to the table. And Spencer Anderson is an offensive guard. 7th round pick. Kind of made his way onto the field a little bit. Had some opportunities. Does he become of anything? James Daniels, Isaac Seumalo, what happens to them? Seumalo will be around, but what happens to James Daniels? What happens at center? Supposedly the Steelers now put it out there that source said that they are enamored with Zach Frazier from West Virginia. I'd love Zach Frazier in the 2nd round. Probably not going to be able to get him in the 3rd round. You need a center. You need to continue to bolster the offensive line. Move Broderick Jones back to left. Can Dan Moore play right? Maybe not try to fool yourself into thinking that he can be the automatic day one starter over there. Get some competition. Maybe move Dan Moore to guard? Maybe? Seumalo is going to be your left guard. Will James Daniels be your right guard? Will he be your center? Again, Zach Frazier would love to see that happen. We mentioned Peter King. Was on with Cook and Joe yesterday. Produced the show for them. He likes the Arthur Smith hire. Arthur Smith is not necessarily a guy that can develop quarterbacks, though, which is probably something that the Steelers should have prioritized. If Kenny Pickett is going to be the number one guy, will they draft a quarterback? I don't think so. Every indication has shown that they want Kenny Pickett. Mark Cavalli said that they might bring back Mitch Trubisky because Mason Rudolph might just price himself out of the market. Here's Peter King.
He's very young thinking. I really like Arthur Smith. I think he got in some trouble in Atlanta, obviously, with how he used Bijan Robinson. And look, I think one of the things, I mean, there's two things about Arthur Smith that I think are really interesting. One, his players talk about how he likes to play positionless football. It's why when he was in Tennessee, whatever, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he started playing Jonnu Smith, who's, I don't know, maybe a 260-pound tight end in the backfield. And he had him, you know, basically part-time being a running back. And so I think that's the one thing he's going to do. He's going to play all players all over the map, which I think is an interesting thing. The second thing is, I believe that he's going to be a tight end's best friend, because he just believes that a tight end can do so many things that are hard to stop for a defense, especially an athletic tight end. So I would think Pat Freiermuth would be very happy with this hire. And then finally, I think I would say that he believes in, and I know this is going to sound elementary, he believes in doing what works. He's not going to try to force his philosophy. If he finds that Najee Harris is not good being used all over the map, he's not going to do it. And if he finds that Freiermuth is not Jonnu Smith, well, he's not going to force that. So I liked Arthur Smith. I really, really like him as an offensive mind. So I like the hire.
He likes the hire. A couple of takeaways. So you're telling me that he's going to adjust and be able to change things up, not stick with whatever is going in that linear path? Might not be going right. Might not be going wrong. But hey, Arthur Smith is going to be able to see things, make changes on the fly, and actually adapt. Maybe give Kenny Pickett some freedom at the line, or whoever the quarterback is, freedom at the line of scrimmage. Pat Freiermuth, meet Arthur Smith. He's your new best friend. 412-928-9370. Your thoughts on anything? Pirates, Penguins, Steelers, Pitt basketball tomorrow against Notre Dame. Anything you want to talk about in the final segment of the Fanoy Morning Show. For the Average Joe, the Fanoy Morning Show is presented by CGR Wholesale, where the Average Joe buys like a pro at CGR Wholesale. Also, Fan Weather, it's brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Check out special financing for qualified buyers on new Silverado 1500 trucks. That's at Sun Chevrolet. Currently 37 degrees, a high of 44. Partly cloudy skies today. Sunny skies tomorrow. 45 degrees the high and a low of 28. Austin Bechtel with you on the Fan Early Morning Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Austin Bechtel with you on the Fan Early Morning Show. You know, the Pro Bowl is this Sunday, and man, it becomes more of a boring event seemingly every year. It's now flag football. There needs to be an alternative. And I understand that instead of just having the regular Pro Bowl game where nobody really wants to tackle each other, there's no more contact, guys aren't going out there trying to make big hits, highlight reel type of moments anymore. Okay, I get it. Fine. The flag football game, though, also just kind of uneventful. It's just not really, it's not football to me. And that's why I don't like it. Curious your thoughts. You could tweet at me, at Austin R. Bechtold. Your thoughts on what you think of the Pro Bowl. If you think there's anything else that should be changed, would you rather watch the Pro Bowl or the NHL All-Star Game? And I understand that they're on different days. Why does the NHL not take this week and make it theirs? Crosby and Ovechkin battling it out on a Wednesday night in prime time. ESPN has hockey rights. Why not put a game on ABC? Shows aren't back yet. The writer's strike caused CBS to prolong their shows until NBC shows are back, but CBS shows aren't back until after the Super Bowl. Why not have ABC, as they've done with some other games, NBA included, with ESPN, put a Penguins and Capitals game? I know not two of the best teams anymore, but what about Austin Matthews and Connor McDavid? And yes, when you make the NHL schedule, you don't know about the writer's strike. I understand that. But shouldn't this week of the Pro Bowl, where there's as little NFL talk as possible the week before the Super Bowl, you take full advantage of that? Have your top talent go out there and play? Edmonton play against Toronto? I understand the All-Star game's in Toronto. Why not have the All-Star game some other week, a different week than the Pro Bowl? Again, like, why not have the All-Star game 2 weeks from now, the week after the Super Bowl, where it's, hey, all right, Super Bowl's over. Congrats, NFL, another good year. Now here's our All-Star game. Here's our stars. And then leads into the second half. It might just be my thought. Maybe I'm irrational for that belief. But the NBA and the NHL should be taking full advantage of this time, and I just don't think they are. As like a full-on, all right, you get the NFL for one more week, but we're coming up next. Maybe the NBA has kind of done that with so many guys scoring over 60 points, Embiid 70, Luka 73, so on and so forth. Austin Bechtel with you. It's the Fan Early Morning Show, the pre-show with Doran, coming up next on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.